Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The texts are the Christmas readings as they have been read. Please be seated. I think, at least in my memory, it was in the late 1960s and perhaps flowing a little bit into the early 1970s when we first started hearing people talk about keeping Christ in Christmas. And there perhaps was a reason for that at that time, at least in our society, in our country, because it seems that it was about that time that many retailers, in their advertisements, began substituting the word Christmas for Xmas. And some of you might recall that. And of course, they said it just because of the signage and the posters we have to print and so forth, it saves space. And yet many in the Christian community thought they were trying to deny what Christmas was all about. Of course, modern retailers have done away with it altogether. There is no more Christmas, there's just holiday sales. Right? The holiday season. I have no idea what they're talking about. Because I know the one holiday, and you do too. It is Christmas. Now, interestingly, and those who maybe have studied a little bit of the Greek language would be tickled to know, and the retailers had no idea what they were doing, but in the Greek language, what we would see is the letter X in Greek is the letter chi, and it is the beginning of the name Christ. We have it on our wreaths, we have it in our symbolism, the chi. It looks like an X. And so in a sense, it was kind of like an abbreviation that they were using for Christ. And we use it also in that way in the church as well, although that I don't think was something they had in mind. Keeping Christ in Christmas. We hear a lot about that even today. But I wonder how many of you have ever heard somebody say, we need to keep the Mass in Christmas. No? Well, that's what we're going to talk about this morning. You know, we talk about the Mass. It sounds Roman Catholic, doesn't it? It is. It is not just Roman, though. It is Catholic. It is universal. It is not uniquely Roman. The Mass refers to the sacrament of the altar, the Lord's Supper. The word Mass, Missa, actually came from the tradition in the church where just before the celebration of the Lord's Supper, those catechumens who were not yet prepared and others maybe who were visiting who were not yet in fellowship were dismissed. And the priest or the pastor would say, the doors, the doors. And those who were not able to participate or were not participating in the sacrament would leave and they would shut the doors. They weren't even allowed to witness it. And so we hear the word Mass and all of that gets conjured up. But it really does focus on the sacrament of the altar. Now, Martin Luther, we know, took the Roman Catholic Mass, of course, which he was familiar. He was a priest, a Roman Catholic priest. He eliminated the errors that had crept in over the centuries, and then he translated it into the language of the people. And so he had his Deutsche Messe, German Mass, from which our divine service that we will celebrate again this coming Sunday flows even today. So then the question is, what does Christmas have to do with Holy Communion? Has everything to do with Holy Communion. What Christmas began, if we think 2,000 years ago, the mystery of the Incarnation, how is it that the second person of the Trinity, the God of the universe, as we heard in the reading from Hebrews today, who made everything, and St. John reflected on that in his first part of the chapter in the Gospel today, that the God of the universe, how could he come into the flesh, incarnate? How could he become truly man, truly human? It's a mystery. And you know what? That is an exact definition of what we as Lutherans talk about when we talk about the real presence of Jesus in the sacrament of the altar. How can it be that that bread becomes and is Jesus' real body? How can it be that that cup of wine then contains Jesus' true blood? It's a mystery, just like the incarnation. It's the same. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus did not stay as a babe in the manger. And he did not stay in Jerusalem, outside of Jerusalem on Calvary's cross. But he provides forgiveness through these means, through these acts of his incarnation and his birth and his suffering and his death and his resurrection. He provides forgiveness and new and eternal life to all who believe. Now, we cannot go back in time to see Jesus in the manger. He's not there anymore. It's nice that we have at home our creches and our, you know, our nativity scenes, and it's wonderful to think back about what happened kind of as a memory. But there is no more baby Jesus. He's not in the manger anymore. And you know what? Although I wear a crucifix and we see Jesus on the cross, Jesus is not today on the cross anymore. That was 2,000 years ago. We won't find Jesus in the manger, and we will not find him on the cross. And yet he promises to be with us. If we are to encounter Jesus in the Christmas season, if we encounter Jesus today, there's nothing that we can do and no place that we can go to make that happen. In fact, it's all up to him. It's all up to Jesus to come and visit us. It is up to him to come and visit us, and he does that through his holy word, and in a short time, he will be meeting us at the chancel rail. He's here. He's not in the manger. He's not on the cross, but he is here with us through the Blessed Sacrament. Jesus is in the Mass. That's why Mass is so important for Christmas. Jesus comes to us this Christmas no longer wrapped in swaddling clothes, no longer nailed to the cross. He doesn't come in glorious splendor as he will on the last day with all his holy angels. But he comes in the simple form, bread and wine, his body given, his blood shed for you and for me. Jesus will never again lie in a manger. He will never have to hang on a cross again. But he will meet us today, and each time we approach his altar, and he meets us as host. This is his sacrament, not ours. He meets us as host and as friend, and he places into our mouths the sacrifice that he made so that we could be forgiven, and that one day we can be with him forever in heaven. As biblical Christians, we will always strive to keep Christ in Christmas. And therefore, we will also cling with all our might to the Mass in Christmas. Today, this Christmas, Jesus invites you. Jesus invites you, take, eat my body, take, drink my blood, given and shed, all for the love of you. And as we receive Jesus in the sacrament, I wish a blessed Christ's Mass to you today and always. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.